Let's speak to our political editor, Ken Reid. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Ken, looking towards Stormont, what should we be looking out for today?
Well, it's not just Stormont we've got to look for, Frank. It's Westminster as well, and really there's a whole series of interlinked developments. First of all, the DUP, the First Minister, Peter Robinson, is expected to announce the new Health Minister to replace Jim Wales, who, of course, resigned in controversial circumstances about 2 weeks ago. The favourite appears to be Jonathan Bell, currently the Junior Minister, but the unsuccessful candidate for the DUP in South Belfast. Other suggestions, maybe Simon Hamilton, who at the moment is looking after finance and health, but I suppose most of the money is on Jonathan Bell. Then over in Westminster, the Prime Minister will decide whether Theresa Villiers will continue as Secretary of State. We should have that announcement sometime during today. She's made it clear over the weekend in a series of interviews she's quite keen to stay on the job, although I have to say, if that does happen, that's quite unusual. Normally after an election, the Secretary of State is changed.
With regards to Simon Hamilton, Jonathan Bell, in your opinion, which is the most difficult task? Surely it has to be health, does it not?
I would have thought so. And I would imagine, you see, really, this assembly is due to rise in March next year. So I would imagine that they're looking just for somebody to steady the ship. People mightn't want to hear this, but we're back into another election campaign because the assembly election, which is probably more important, is the next thing on the horizon. And I think the parties will be sitting down this week looking at last week's Westminster results, see how they will relate to the assembly and decide what to do. It would occur to me that Simon Hamilton's got quite a task at the moment because at 3 o'clock this afternoon, the five party leaders from the executive are going to sit around the table in Stormont and decide what can be done to implement the Stormont House Agreement. And the signs are not good. Yesterday, Sinn Féin's Mickey Brady was on UTV really underlying Martin McGuinness's message that they believe that the Northern Ireland parties should sit down together and fight the austerity and the welfare cuts. But of course, the DUP say we're losing £2 million a week by not implementing welfare reform, and it needs to be done now. Otherwise, things like corporation tax are going to slip further and further away.
You say people won't want to hear that they're on an election footing once again. Just remind us of when that scheduled visit to the polls is for those assembly elections.
Well, it would be a year from last Thursday in May. The assembly will rise late March, and then the assembly election will be in May.
So from now on, we can expect one pulling against the other as opposed to any form of cooperation. Surely to make things work, there'll have to be some forward motion.
Well, there'll have to be, and I think there probably is a period now until the summer recess, early July, where you would think that there could be progress, and I'm sure whoever is Secretary of State will be urging the parties. But I have to say at this stage, it's hard to see a way out of it. And against that, we've said that in the past, and problems that have seemed that will never be solved, they've found a way around it. But I think we're in for some pretty tough weeks, and you know, I don't want to exaggerate, but if this is not sorted, then the whole future of the institutions would be put into question, but we're nowhere near that yet.
So that Stormont House Agreement meeting that's happening later today, talk us through what happens there.
It's just five party leaders. This is a regular meeting, and they will go on, basically on the agenda will be implementation of the Stormont House Agreement. I don't expect there'll be any developments out of it other than the parties restating their positions, and we already know the two main parties are poles apart.
Ken, do you think we'll have the same Secretary of State at close of play today?
Well, it's beginning to look like it, but I wouldn't like to stake my reputation on it, I have to say, Frank, but you could see the argument that if the Stormont House Agreement situation has not been resolved, then it might make sense for Theresa Villiers to continue in that role, because if a new minister's brought in, they're going to have to learn the brief, and really I suppose there's not much time.
Ken, thank you for that. We'll be keeping a close eye as the day goes by. 90 333 105. Let me speak to one of the party leaders. It's Mike Nesbitt. Mike Nesbitt, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Mike, you have your eye on Stormont for a number of reasons today. Do you expect any progress at that particular meeting that Ken's talking about there?
Well, the party leaders meet every Monday as part of the implementation of the Stormont House Agreement. Now, it has been on hold for a while. The DUP obviously didn't want to discuss anything because they were waiting to see if they were going to be the kingmakers holding the balance of power. And Sinn Féin, on the other hand, were waiting and hoping that there would be a Labour-led coalition government emerging this week. So reality bites, and we have to get on with it because the status quo is costing the vulnerable and the rest of us £2 million per week. That's money just simply being wasted because of the failure to agree welfare reform. There's a £500 million hole in the budget, and the next financial milestone comes next month in June, and you cannot avoid it. And if we don't resolve it, there's another crisis and threat to the future of the institutions. So it's pretty stark. It's also pretty bleak, but we just have to get on with it because it's what we're paid to do.
Now, Ken has reminded us that election footing has been readjusted and you're just on another set of feet going towards the next election. That doesn't augur well for those of us who are looking towards Stormont as the customers in all of this and getting a serious feel and a vibe of angst up there for a number of months.
Well, Frank, yes. The Assembly election is now on the horizon, and I'm not apologise for this. I have an eye focused on winning seats for the Ulster Unionist Party this time next year when we go back to the polls. But that is in no way an impediment to focusing on implementing the Stormont House Agreement and resolving the issues over welfare. I mean, it's not as if people are going out knocking doors asking for a vote. Over the next couple of months, there's a wee bit of internal positioning in terms of getting your strategy in place, getting the right people in place. But that can be done very simply in parallel with the core business of the party leaders, which is to do what they promised the people that we would do on the 23rd of December 2014, which is create a better Northern Ireland, a fairer Northern Ireland, a just Northern Ireland, which looks after the vulnerable, but also gets a focus onto wealth generation. Because we have this prosperity gap, which is most easily explained as saying if a citizen of England, Scotland or Wales has a pound in their back pocket, our people only have 77p. And we have to address the wealth gap, the prosperity gap, and start delivering for our people.
But while there's an argument, it's understating it, about welfare reform, there's going to be a serious difficulty here going towards this next election. You could have an election before this time next year.
I don't see it, Frank. Well, you know, there is a possibility, as I say, that these institutions will not survive this crisis. Will we actually go to the polls? Maybe we will. Maybe we will.
Would you be fearful of that?
I don't think it would be good for Northern Ireland, Frank. I think, you know, because what you'll get is the same result that you have at the moment. I don't see really significant change coming, and what it does is it simply undermines people's faith in the political system here. We promised big things in 1998. You know, we promised better politics than direct rule, and a lot of people think we didn't deliver on that. You know, we promised mutual respect for each other, and a lot of people think we haven't delivered on that. And on the economy, we promised that peace dividend, and I think if you go out and ask people if they feel that they're really better off economically than they were in 98, the answer is probably no.
Who do you think the Secretary of State will be at tea time today?
No idea, but it would not surprise me if there is no change.
So that's what most of the money would seem to be on, the retaining of our present Secretary of State. I want to speak to you in just a second about the first ever committee-led bill that's going to be debated in the Assembly later today with regards to public services. But you were talking about elections there, and indeed you've just been through one and in many ways successfully through the recent election. However, mud sticks, and there's been so much negativity about the campaign that involved the election of Mr. David Simpson, and he seems to have been through a particularly difficult time. Eamon Malley was talking about this on Friday to us. You've addressed it with a letter. If a family adopts some children, and as a result of that, they are laid open to ridicule and abuse, that is so beyond the pale, regardless of who's trying to get votes for what.
100%. And I heard his acceptance speech, and it seems to me that he is alleging that the author or authors of this abuse are members of the Ulster Unionist Party. And I give him and you and your listeners this assurance, Frank. If it is a current member of the Ulster Unionist Party who is responsible for that, I will personally refund their membership fee and put it in the letter, sacking them as a member of the party. I would also encourage them, if that's what they really believe, to consider leaving the country, because they have no place in my vision of a new Northern Ireland.
It's absolutely unbelievable that a man who adopts children would have to go through that sort of, I think, vile commentary was how he described it.
And I agree, it is absolutely vile, but was it a member of the Ulster Unionist Party? It is frustrating for me that he has made the allegation without naming names, and that is why I encourage him to name the names. Let's remember, they also there was also an opinion poll published in the Portadown Times suggesting that Sinn Féin were in danger of taking the seat off unionism, suggesting to people that if you vote for Joanne Dobson of the Ulster Unionist Party, you'll actually get a Sinn Féin MP. The name of the polling company was not published, and the date it was conducted was not published, but it was clearly an old one, because the question was about potential candidates. Therefore, the question was asked before the close of nominations. And again, I challenge him, tell us who conducted the poll and when was it done.
Are you carrying out any form of local investigation in that area?
I have asked around, yes, and no name has come forward.
Because it's incredibly embarrassing to Joanne Dobson, who would be seen as one of the great ladies of Ulster politics.
It's not embarrassing, it's very hurtful to Joanne to point a finger without naming names. Really hurtful to Joanne, and I get it. If it is true, then even privately, give me the name or the names. I will not be found wanting, Frank. I will drive to Upper Ban today with the cheque and with the letter of dismissal, if it's true.
Okay, that is pretty clear. Now, tell us about the Public Services Ombudsman Bill and what changes that's going to bring.
Well, I think this is absolutely fantastic, Frank. As you say, since 1998, no Stormont statutory committee has ever brought forward its own bill. And that's what we are doing today. And our objective is to make sure that the people of Northern Ireland have the best complaints mechanism on planet Earth. Currently, you see, if you have a problem, say, with the school and therefore with the education authority, or maybe with your doctor and therefore with the National Health Service, depending on who you're complaining about, you either go to a person called the Northern Ireland Ombudsman or the Northern Ireland Commissioner for Complaints. The problem is, it's the same person, currently Tom Frawley. And Tom wears these two hats with two different sets of powers. So if you go, for example, to the Ombudsman, he may say, yes, you've been badly treated by an authority and I rule in your favour, but nothing happens to put right what has been put wrong. Whereas if he's wearing the Commissioner for Complaints hat, you may take his ruling to a county court and demand that the authority actually take action to redress the wrong. So it's very confusing. It has two sets of outcomes, and what we're doing is we're bringing it all together, giving the new Public Service Ombudsman all the powers that we can possibly give, so if you get a ruling from them, you can go to the county court and you can insist that the authority who have let you down rectify the position. That's the basis of it.
And do you think that we'll benefit, again, I used the term customers earlier, as a result of progress on this?
I think absolutely. We're also going to give this new Public Service Ombudsman the power to say, I'm not simply waiting for somebody to come and complain. I sense that there is a systemic problem with a certain authority or organisation. I am going to initiate off my own bat a review of what you're doing. And I think that is also very cost effective, because you could get a position where not one but 6, 12, 20 people come and complain, and he has to run 20 different costly investigations. Under our proposals, he can just say, there's clearly a systemic issue with this body, I'm going to do it myself.
Okay, you're speaking to us there very much as the committee chair with that particular debate. Just one final question that I didn't ask you that I had meant to ask you with regards to the issues and Mr. Simpson and the vile commentary. Are the police taking this seriously enough?
I don't know if he's complained to the police.
Do you think they should be asking questions about it?
That's up to David Simpson. I mean, if I was him, I would certainly be going to the police. But that's a matter for him, Frank. And I know you're going to finish, Frank. Could I just one thing on the bill and the committee? I want to pay tribute to all the members of the committee who represent all the parties of government, and particularly to Sinn Féin, because there are some issues with regard to the process of bringing on this new ombudsman, which would give them ideological difficulties, and they've managed to find a way through without compromising their republicanism, but at the same time not blocking the bill, and I think that's very mature politics.
Okay, we'll end on a positive. Why not? Why not end on a positive? Mike Nesbitt, thanks for your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.